Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. Do you recognize the moment of grace when the inspiration comes? And recognizing it, do you follow through? Do you take the action that grace prompts? Today in the program, I'm going to share with you a few stories from the past week or so. And in those, as I go back through the week, I'm going to be drawing attention to a number of opportunities I had to pray with people. And it was following the grace of the moment. Back in a minute. Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com. Welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of our lives, the gift of our faith. Lord, I ask that you would truly bless us today with the awareness of your presence. Help us, Lord, to truly see how you are present in our midst and recognize that you are active. You are knocking on the door of the moments, situations, and events of our lives, that you're meeting us in the midst of those realities. And in those places, Lord, you are calling us to welcome you, to trust in you, to be led by you. Lord, I thank you that you are a provident Father, a God who is over all. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, a couple days ago, the Amazon Prime guy showed up, dropped a box off at the front of the house. It's a pretty big box. Bring it inside, open it up, and it is 10 copies of With God in Russia and 9 copies of He Leadeth Me. Both books by Father Walter Chizik, co-authored by Father Daniel Flaherty, both Jesuits. And you cannot have been listening to this program over the last few weeks without me beating the drum of get this book. And having finished it a first time, I'm now going through it a second time. And so we had a family meeting when we had 8 of our 9 kids at home. Our 9th had been home but left before the other 4 got back from school. I don't know if you can track with that. So we didn't actually have all 9 kids together at once. It was pretty close. We were about a week separated between everybody being home. Be that as it may, on the Monday after Mother's Day, so just on Monday, Amazon guy arrived just in time and opened the box up, and the kids were all looking at me like, "Dad, what have you done? Do we really need all of these books?" And it was pretty clear, didn't take long for them to recognize that I was not joking, that these books were important for them to read. The first book, With God in Russia, I didn't remember how long it was. At least the version I got, the way that it was printed, it's a big, thick book, but it is just a compelling story, a compelling read. I said, "Guys, you're going to read this book. This is part of your job this summer, is to read this book. We're going to read it together." And then there became the whole volleying for, how are we going to read this? A chapter a week? What are we going to do? How do we read it out loud together? Or does everyone have the assignment? And then what about the kids, the little kids that are still in school versus the kids that are home? All of that to say, we're going to read this book. All for the sake of the second book, He Leadeth Me. And that book continues to have an unfolding impact on my life. I I don't like to repeat myself, but folks, there's something, frankly, quite dramatic unfolding in my life. I, who have talked about the faith, taught the faith, studied the faith for 35 years, and you know, I'm 59 years old, and done a lot of reading and praying and studying and learning, and the again the precision of this insight. You read in Hebrews chapter 4 about the word of God is like a two-edged sword, and it can pierce through the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. It can pierce between bone and marrow, between soul and spirit. And that's what I feel like has happened for me anyways in reading this book in terms of understanding God's will and God's providence. And there are layers after layers, and I've shared different aspects of these insights, but just to say, the level of peace that I have regarding how I'm living my life. When I say how I'm living, I don't mean like justifying sinful behavior. What I mean is the turning down of the intensity that somehow I've got to plow through my real estate work so that I can get back to my Jesus work. And when I can bring Jesus into my real estate work, somehow that provides cover or justification for that work. Or when I'm helping a family of faith, right, then it's, oh, there it is. I'm bringing professional skills to bear in a person's life who is part of the community of faith. And okay, good. I'm not wasting my life doing something that isn't Jesus' work. And you know what I mean by Jesus' work. What I'm talking about is giving a talk in a church or being on the radio, or I could be praying the rosary, right, on Facebook. And I have made the work that is more of this world to be somehow lesser in terms of how it glorifies God, in terms of how it is sanctifying me, as being somehow lesser. And in addition to that, and by the way, that's one of the things that has taken a phrase that I've learned and I've known about and taught about for many, many years, that you become a saint by fulfilling the duties of your state in life. Really take that seriously. My brothers and sisters, take that seriously. God does intend you to be a saint, and God is making you a saint in the details of your daily life. Jesus entered the boat of Simon, and it was there that he displayed this marvel that astonished Peter and made him realize that he was a sinner, the miraculous catch of fish. When he was exhausted, Jesus enters the boat of your today. You're at home. You're retired. You're a student. You're married. You're homeschooling. You're headed off to work, a work that seems to be rather secular. You're a mechanic. You're an engineer. You're the boss of a company. You're the worker of a, you're in the lowest position of the company. All of these things, Father Chizik is saying, the will of God for you is found right where you are, manifested in the situations, the happenings, the things that are part of your today. God is there. God is meeting you there. God is meeting you right in the middle of those things. And so stop shifting into a safer distinction between God's perfect will for you and God's permissive will, where he allows bad things to happen because he can redeem them. And let's take Father Chizik seriously when he is he's calling us back into a tradition that is more akin to a Jesuit spirituality and a spirituality that did also really grow in the 16th century, which is this reality of God's will, God's providence made manifest in the here, now, and today of what's happening in your life. The things that happen to you are caused by God, are God bringing them to you. And your job is to not commit evil as a result. Your job is to respond with trust and in a way that is in accord with God's will in the moral life, the spiritual life, and in your own personal call. Right? That's God's will made manifest. And so this has a way of releasing some of the energy that I know I carry within me as a man, as a husband, as a father who's called to provide for his family, that I've got to go make some stuff happen. I've got to go hustle, got to work hard, I've got to take initiative, I got to go do some stuff. Because that's how God's going to bless me. God's giving me two hands to work and a head on my shoulders and a clarity of vision, and I'm going to go after it. And while all those things, let's call them true, all of those things need to be submitted. All of those things need to be surrendered. All of those capabilities and inclinations and ways that I've been formed need to be purified. They need to die in order to rise in a way that they will be docile to the Holy Spirit, be willing to be led by the Holy Spirit in a way that will be useful and humbly available to what the Lord would do. And I got to tell you, it's so fascinating. I'm still living the same life I'm living, but the peacefulness, the inclination to surrender and not push it. Push it can feel like it's forcing it. It's really diminished. What a gift. It is life-changing, brothers and sisters. It is life-changing. Just for instance, yesterday, my daughter got on an airplane to head off to Austria for a month-long, six-week-long program at Gaming in Austria, which is the a summer residence or a castle of sorts that was gifted or is purchased by Franciscan University, and they've got a summer program. So Mary Grace is going to be there, and she's going to be taking several flights and then a bus, and she's going to be picked up by somebody who's a friend of a friend that she's never met before. And then she's going to make her way down to Gaming, and then she's going to be traveling across Europe. And my natural approach to that reality would be, okay, how do I do what I can do to have a degree of confident assurance, or a better word is control, over what's going on, and feel a bit out of control that everything's going to be okay, and concerned and worried and anxious that, okay, Lord, please, you've got to protect her. You've got to bless her. You've got to take care of her. Please, Jesus, please, please, please. And this book, there's so much more surrender. There's so much more peace. Knowing that God the Father is a provident God, and he's got my daughter, Mary Grace. He's going to take care of my daughter, Mary Grace. He knows and loves and has a will and a purpose and a plan for Mary Grace that is beyond anything that I can imagine. And so I can trust. I can let go and surrender. And I can be at peace in the knowledge, in the knowing that the Lord has taken over. Jesus, you take over. Jesus, take care of everything. I abandon myself, my wife, my kids, each and all. Mary Grace and her entire trip into your hands. Jesus, you take over. Jesus, I abandon and surrender myself and her. Take care of everything. That's the Father Dolindo Ruotolo prayer of Jesus, you take over. And that's come back to me with this whole reality of God's providence, God's providential care. And honestly, the same is true regarding the real estate work I'm doing. And it's like, okay, I'm busy about taking care of this person and this situation and this deal. And it's so fascinating when I'm approaching this in the light of God's providence and inviting the Father's providential care to show up. And it has been really, it brings peace. It brings peace. You know what? It's going to be okay. So whether it's me helping buyers to discern and take an action when buying the right house, trust, it's going to be okay. Whether it's discerning and helping sellers figure out is now the time and how's your house going to sell and all of that, surrender, let it go. It's God's got this. God's got you. It's going to be okay. It's going to be more than okay. And I just get to move as I feel prompted, not trying to force it. And come on now, you think about it. Actually, I'm out of time right now. Let me come back after this and we'll keep this conversation going. Back in a minute. Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com. Welcome back to the program. All right. So when you are trying to honor the Lord and follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit, it, you know what I mean by that, right? You know what I mean? That's the life of discernment. Discernment is about being sensitive to the prompting of God at work in your heart, at work in the moment around you, and at work in the world beyond you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that the living God has living interaction with you, and it is most intimately associated with the promptings of the Holy Spirit who lives in the deepest center of who you are. And this living God is active and is moving. And do you sense, do you have that? Are you sensitized to the way that the Holy Spirit would prompt you, would nudge you to say, write that email? Or don't force it. Don't write that email. And I it's something that I've been aware of for years, decades, really. But in the light of this book, He Leadeth Me, and God's providential care over my today, I have become more refined. There's been a refining fire around this awareness. That's a word I'm going to come back to. This awareness, this realization, this recognition, when I'm sensing the Holy Spirit is prompting me to take an action, make that phone call, send that text, send that email, or not. Don't say that. Don't respond to that. Don't take that action. You are forcing it. And so I love this idea. I love this idea that this book, it has taken a truth of our faith, and that truth is taking a new, it's spreading new roots into my life. And I'm sharing it with you because I'm hoping that these dynamics, these are dynamics that are part of the life of a disciple. There's nothing like different or extraordinary about what I'm saying. These are, let's call them typical or standard dynamics in the life of a disciple. Father Chizik is helping to mature the way that that dynamic can have a healthy expression in our lives. So that's what I'm finding. That's why I'm so excited about this book, is that I want my kids to be formed while they're still in my house, to have that trust in God's providential care. My favorite passage in the New Testament, Luke 12:32. Do not live in fear, little flock. It has pleased the Father to give you the kingdom. Don't live in fear, little flock. It has pleased the Father to give you the kingdom. And so I love that. I love that God is that kind of Father to us, where He takes good pleasure in giving us good things. And it can become manifest more fully when we make more room for God, make more room for the Lord, and not have to be always trying to make stuff happen. Okay, so another story along these lines was, okay, boys and girls, young men and women, right? You college kids and the rest of you at home, we are going to read these books. There's also the awakening or the realization that, in fact, we are called to take action. And so while I have become more docile and more available to not have to force stuff, well, my kids have experienced a bit of a, like, Dad, what's happened to you? I think they maybe wish I had not read this book. And the answer is, why? Well, I had these four, wonderful kiddos come back from Franciscan University. And Carrie and I have been talking and planning about how they were going to be living in our home this summer. And there were certain things that we wanted them to avoid and certain things that we intend for them to do. And so yesterday I had a bit of a come to Jesus conversation with my two boys, 18 and 17, both finished their freshman year at Franciscan, and sat them down. And I said, guys, you've only been here a couple of days, and here's what I expect. What I expect from you are three words: initiative, gratitude, and generosity. So let's take a look at those. First, initiative. My expectation is that you will get up on your own early in the day and that you will approach us and say, Mom, what can I do to help? Dad, I'm here. Here I am. Here I am. Send me. What would you like me to do? And I would expect that you would do that with a certain attitude. You'd relate to these, to this approach, to this way of living in the home this summer. And the attitude would be one of gratitude. And I reminded them in simple terms that they are at college because of the provision that comes from their mom and me, that it is our goodwill, our love, and our investment in them as sons that have me work as hard as I work to make the money that we need to be able to have a roof over their heads and provide a way for them to go to college. And that, and while they're at college, when they have a need, I listen, and I'm often very quick to simply give them what they need. And I said, there is an expectation that you'll acknowledge this with gratitude, that this is something that you would do quickly. And so when you're taking initiative, you're doing so with an attitude of gratitude. And then lastly, generosity. Generosity, typically when I talk about generosity, I'm using Aquinas's definition, which is where you strive to give more than you've received. And I said here, when I say generous, what I'm looking for is more than a mere minimalistic approach to fulfilling a task or a request, that you'll go above and beyond in how hard you work, how long you work, the work that you do, and that it's not going to be, I did my duty, I'm checking the box, and I'm done. And so I said, this is what I expect. And so I said, there's also the flip side of that. What is it that we are expecting that won't happen this summer? And I said, number one, it's that you're sleeping in. Number two, you only get up when we come and knock on your door and wake you up 2-3 times. And once you're up, we have to provide a lot of direction and a lot of energy, to Carrie's word, to be an engine to get you moving forward. No, that there's inertia, and that the only energy that you will be dynamically engaged in is around getting out of the house to go do fun things with your friends and yeehaw, have vacation, and just have a blast. And oh, by the way, Dad, I'm going to take the car and I'll be gone most of the day. And can I have some money? And I said, not happening, not happening. I said, this is the summer for you to learn to be young men who one day are going to be asked to provide for your family, to take responsibility, to do what you need to do rather than what you would like to do or would want to do. And it's so funny. My boy's like, Dad, you having a hard day? You having a hard week? Like, we've actually been pretty good since we've been home. In their mind, you know, we got up not too late and we've been helpful around the house for doing this task on this day and this task on the other day and this task on the other day. And I said, that's true. All of those things are true, but I'm looking for hours of work, not minutes. I'm looking for more initiative and going beyond, not just checking the box and doing a minimalistic amount and then being able to run off and have fun with the friends. So I said, no more. You get to invite folks over without checking in with mom and me first. Let's get you guys dialed in on work. And that led to a conversation about work. And this is where I said to them, guys, I don't expect you to look for a job for 8 hours a day. That's not what I expect. I do expect you to be strategic about finding a job and being diligent to go get a job. But that's not going to be all of your hours in a day. Until you get a job, there's half of a day that belongs to mom and me. I have work for you to do. You can help me. Mom has work for you. You can help her. And there's work that needs to be done around the house. And you can do that. And so tomorrow morning, you're going to get up early. And you have goals. You want to work out every day. You want to get to Mass or pray. You want to do those things. You want to work out? Absolutely. You can work out. Just get up early. And I'm willing to help you with that. And so I did. I got us back on a family plan at the gym so that they can work out every day, no excuse. And they also have tasks. They have work that they're going to be doing tomorrow. And then, by the way, after that, they're also going to go find a job. Okay. Boy, did I have a hard day? It was an important conversation to have. Okay, so what was neat about all of this was that my son Jean-Luc's taking mechanical engineering. He said, "Dad, I don't really want to work for you. I want to go to a job where I can go work all day. I want to go work for someone and I want to work in my field." And I said, "Yeah, I get that. I'm here to help you. I want you to be able to succeed in that." So what did I do? Well, at that point, I mentioned to you, a text message came to my phone. And the text message was from this guy. And I'm going to read to you the text. I said, "Oh, Jean-Luc, listen to this text. Mark, I hope and pray all is well with you and Carrie and the kiddos, along with your business venture. I'd love to check in and catch up, but also I was getting in touch with you about any work you might have in your manufacturing business. I have a son, Jean-Luc, who just finished his freshman year in mechanical engineering at Franciscan University, and I'd love to get him involved in a situation where he would be utilizing his understanding and skills in the world of manufacturing and design. If that's not a good fit, if you knew of other businesses that might value someone like him, I'd be thrilled to have him reach out to those businesses. And with 4 kids home from college, I want them all working full-time as soon as possible. Smiley face. Hope to connect with you soon. Peace and all good things, Tom." So I had sent that message out the day before. And it literally came in while I was talking with them about my helping them to find work and my son, Jean-Luc, saying, "Dad, I want to work in this field." And he didn't know I had done this. He didn't know it. And the message came back, "Hi, Tom, great to hear with you. I'll discuss this with my team leader and I'll let you know if we have an opportunity or have other ideas." And what was so cool was, call it God's providence. I thought it was so beautiful the way that God providentially had that message show up on my phone precisely in the moment when we're talking about this. And my sons might be thinking, what's wrong with my dad? Why is he getting so harsh or hard or hard-nosed or demanding? And, you know, doesn't he understand? And then this message comes through, which gives me a chance to share from an entirely different angle. Of course I care. Of course I want you guys to enjoy your summer. But you guys have goals and we have goals, and let's make sure this is a fruitful summer and not just a lazy, let's float through the summer because you've got a cool vacation, here are the car keys, go have fun. All right, back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran, and I'm sharing with you this idea that if we are docile, if we are available and receptive, that the provident Father, who is almighty and watches over us and pours forth into our lives the events, situations, and happenings day to day, even the hard things, in them we can discern and we are called to live out a godly response and a godly way of living in the midst of these things, precisely as a means of growing in holiness, precisely as a means of becoming a saint. This is what the Lord has for us. Now, I mentioned that this flows from a more refined, like sharp two-edged sword level of insight in the book He Leadeth Me. There are also places in the book where Father Chizik has insight that goes beyond his capacity to bring to expression. It's where his language, and unfortunately the language of Father Flaherty, fail to express what Father Chizik is actually living. And I say that to you humbly because what he lives is one reality. The language he has to express it is another one. And I saw one of the places where there was a bit of that discrepancy in the section where he's describing the practice of the presence of God. The practice of the presence of God. It's in the chapter where he is in Lubyanka, in that terrible prison in Moscow, where he is in solitary confinement. And he talks about creating a rule of life, a day-to-day schedule for his time that passes by in such terrible and painful slowness when he's stuck in this tiny 6-foot by 10-foot room, sometimes for months at a time. And he is let out twice a day, once in the morning to empty his bucket and wash himself, from a faucet quickly. And once a day when it happens for him to be outside for 10 or 20 minutes for quote unquote exercise, but that's it. And so he structures his day, and his day begins with the morning offering. And you've heard me talk about the morning offering, where he consciously puts himself into the presence of God and he offers all of the prayers and works and sufferings of this day in accord as a means of glorifying God and fulfilling God's will for his life. And so that morning offering becomes a fundamental, just ground level importance practice for his spiritual life. But then he flows into what comes next, which is the practice of the presence of God. And it's in this section where he struggles to name the way, how does one practice the presence of God? And he ends up using some traditional religious language, whether it's biblical or from our spiritual tradition, but it you can tell he's struggling to name what he actually lives, which is this continual awareness that I am in the presence of God. This continual awareness, I'm not just living in a world that I can see with my eyes, hear with my ears, and all of the other senses come into some form of contact, cognitive contact with the visible created world. No, there's more to it than that. The created world shows these signs of God's presence, these indicators of God's presence. And it's that he struggles to help those who are reading the book know how to accomplish. So here's what I want to say. Let me start with the outcome, and then we'll get to the middle, the means of getting there. The outcome is this: as you go about your day, as Father Chizik went about his day, even in solitary confinement, he was constantly aware. He sensed the presence of God, the presence of the living God. It was It was present to his consciousness. There was this realization, this recognition. You see how I'm kind of wrestling for words here? I'm trying to circle around this way of seeing and experiencing life. I sense God. I sense that God is here. I don't see God. He's over there and not over here. Oh, God just turned the corner. Oh, wait a minute. God's at a distance and he's coming my way. No. As I'm aware of the world, I'm aware of God present with the world. And there is no experiencing of the world apart from experiencing the God who is present in the world and approaching me through the world. Right? This is classical Catholic spirituality, Augustine, Bonaventure, John of the Cross, Ignatius of Loyola. This is classical Catholic theology, spiritual theology. God is present in all things, with all things, and through all things. And if you can sense the creaturely quality of all that exists, you recognize that it only exists because of the power of God upholding it. And so there are different facets of this sensitivity to God's presence. But what does God intend for you? God intends for you to live your day-to-day life, your day-to-day activities, driving the car, talking to people, going about the daily duties of your life in your job, at the store, at home, and sensing God's presence. And that's what God wills for you. This is not some kind of shocking thing, that you don't have to have quote-unquote blind faith to believe that God exists. No, it's God is unavoidable. God becomes unavoidable. That's what happens in as a fruit, as a mature fruit of the practice of the presence of God. That's what Father Chizik is trying to say in the book. He doesn't quite say it right. And I don't blame him, because he's experiencing it. He's witnessing to it. But when it comes time to try to translate it into the concepts of our theology, he and Father Flaherty, they're struggling with the crumbs of language to do that. Okay. Now, more important than being able to say it with that level of clarity, because there's a mysterious dimension to life when this happens, it's how do I get there? How do I go from living in the world and just being immersed in the things of the world to waking up in the morning and recognizing I'm in the presence of God? Getting out of bed, going to make coffee, I'm in the presence of God. Moving through my day and realizing the Father is shining down his presence on me right now. As I talk to you, I sense God is with you and he loves you. You can see it in my eyes. I sense that God is with you. Do you want that? How do you get to that? The answer is prayer. But not just prayer. It's contemplative prayer. It's quiet prayer. It's prayer where you sit in the presence of the Lord and you allow him to wash over you, soak into you, stir within you, be set free within you, be released within you. It's the Holy Spirit surging. It's the love of the Lord Jesus washing over, soaking in. It's the presence and the light of the Father coming down upon you and filling you to overflowing. That happens in prayer when you're still. He talks about this in the book. He talks about being still, being alone, and stripping away things. Guess where he was by himself, stripped away from everything, and in pure silence? It was in that prison. That prison became this teaching place for him to grow in his understanding of the practice of the presence of God. And that's the gift he's offering to us. God wills this for us, but we have to seek him in quiet prayer. Back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. So, what I just shared with you is more important than you realize. What I shared with you, well, some of you might be saying, No, Tom, it's actually way more important than you realize. I accept that. I completely acknowledge that there are who knows how many folks listening who are saying, this is way more profound and has implications beyond what you're addressing here. You're struggling with words. And yes, for sure. But I know that so few Catholics have been invited to the rigorous practice of extended times of prayer daily with perseverance in order to allow our minds to come to quiet, to come to stillness, to slow down, to calm down, to be brought to a place of peace. You see, that's part of this whole surrender in God's providence. It's like, if I don't have to have so much energy and go strive after stuff, then I can let go of stuff. And then guess what room there is? There's room made for peaceful contemplation, for quiet meditation. And that's one of the incredible blessings or fruits of He Leadeth Me, is when I'm like done with my work for the day, instead of wanting to run and sit in front of a movie, I run and get back to my prayer spot and I want to read more of He Leadeth Me and quietly reflect on it. How cool is that? Like, wow, what a great fruit. And the fruit is, of course, reading the book for me is like being at a fireworks display. Bam, bam, bam. Wow, look at that one. Holy cow, look at that one. Carrie, listen to this. She hears that one more time. But at the same token, the fruit is also that it's settling into me and it's recovering, it's reawakening in me a quality and depth of the awareness of God's presence around me day to day, with me day to day. And that's practicing the presence of God. And again, it's what Father Chizik lived through, the fire, through the furnace. And boy, what terrifying suffering he went through. And he talks about it, that the worst suffering that he endured wasn't in the logging camps of the Ural Mountains when he first arrived. It wasn't in the first prison camp that had terrible conditions, crowded cells, disgustingly dirty and smelly, terrible food. It wasn't even in the Siberian prison camps where he labored 14 hours a day in the freezing, bitter cold. No, the worst suffering was in solitary confinement. He talked about the spiritual anguish of the soul being alone as the worst suffering that he endured. And that made me think about that portal to hell, which is called the smartphone, and how it is stirring and fostering degrees of painful isolation in our kids, all of our kids, right? Teenagers and young people, terrible, painful isolation. Isolation found where? On social networks. Wait a minute. This social network, TikTok and Instagram and Snapchat, and you know, these platforms, these are where kids socialize. These are where kids interact. This is where, oh, come on, how naive, right? How naive. No, this is where kids come into contact relentlessly for these curated, false presented lives and experience a sense of being left out, not measuring up, not good enough, or being put down, being cut off. And they experience such anxiety and depression, leading to self-harm, suicidal thinking, destructive behaviors on social networks. It's as if they're in a prison of their own making. they're prisoners to the smartphone. The smartphone is terribly clever in how it's leading our young people to terrifying interior suffering. And we can do something about it. We can pull them out of those worlds and into the real world. And so, what was I talking about? Oh, practice the presence of God in silent prayer, brothers and sisters. It's a daily decision. Just make the decision today. Make a decision to divert your path, get into a church, and sit quietly. Please, 15 minutes. You can do it. You can do it. Sacrifice your lunch. If you have an hour for lunch, take 15 minutes and take 45 minutes and just sit in the church quietly. On the way home, can you stop by the church and pray in Adoration Chapel? They're around. You might have to take a little bit of time and figure it out. They are around. And I'm not saying don't go to daily mass, but I am saying if you do go to daily mass, don't let that count for the kind of prayer I'm talking about. I'm talking about quiet prayer, one-on-one with the Lord, in order to get, here it is, the presence of God is like a dimmer switch. It's not an off-on switch for a light. The dimmer switch, you know how it works. You're turning the dimmer switch up and the light gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter, or it gets turned all the way down and click off. The presence of God for too many Catholics is just off. And the Lord wants to click, wants to turn on, ignite that light, that awareness. But it only becomes deepened through the slow growth, the slow progress of contemplative prayer, of quiet prayer, sitting in God's presence alone. So I felt this conviction. I felt this conviction. And I'm like, I need to get away. What's important is I get away. I just have got to get away. I can't get away for 5 years in prison, but wait a minute. He's a Jesuit. The Ignatian retreat, the spiritual exercises, 30 days. Let's go. So I went to Kerry. I said, Kerry, I've been praying. I'm inspired. Father Chizik, he leadeth me. I'm being led to make the spiritual exercises. Wow, Tom, that's amazing. That sounds really cool. Yeah. And I'll go away for a retreat. Wow, that's amazing, Tom. That is really cool. Yeah, the spiritual exercises, when they're done properly, last 30 days. Kerry's answer? Wow, Tom, that sounds like an interesting 3-day retreat. No, honey, 30 days. Let's see if we can do 30 hours. She said, you'd never make 30 days. I said, oh, no, I would. She said, well, we'll never make 30 days. Come on, 30 days? Really? Can you try 3? Can you just try a weekend? And I was like, oh, all my enthusiasm. That young rush of idealistic enthusiasm. However, with all that said, it was something that is in my mind. And we'll see. We'll see what God does. We'll see what the Lord does to potentially open up a longer retreat than Kerry imagines, even if it's not as long as I idealistically and maybe fantastically imagined for myself. But God honors that. God honors those who are desiring and pursuing to fulfill the desire to be with him in silence. Dimmer switch, come on, let's go. That dimmer switch of God's presence in your life, it can be turned up. More watts, higher wattage bulb, let's go. Make it a big spotlight, make it a laser beam. Let that presence of God shine forth, especially when life is hard, to be able to be resting in God's presence. That is pure gold. That was what Father Chizik experienced. It's what he writes about, and he leadeth me. And I just wanted to share a little bit about how the fruits of that are manifesting in my life some more. All right, God bless you. Join me tomorrow.